You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries to find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
There were these prints up in ball club.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized there was something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, like break in day. We'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is
size
like,
and everything else, they just were too realistic
and
to be
frozen like a primitive
manufacturer.
The hand was freaking
out. Into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot creature lives. Bigfoot lives. A movie.
Right now.
At
www.
searchingforbigfoot.com.
What you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moxon Joe. Where the party they gonna have? Out in the St. John's walls. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Discardi. If you'd like to join us in our live discussions during the program, just dial in and join us at 347-996-5877. That's 347-996-5877. Just dial in and wait for the moderator to announce your area code and bring you on to the show. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Hey, everybody. This is Marco, Bill, and Alex. And Tom had to do a quick turnaround this evening. He couldn't make the show. He's going to try to make even part of it, but he couldn't do it. So he asked Alex and I to take it over. We got some absolutely outstanding entertainment tonight for everybody. And Alex, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing excellent, Marco, and I love doing the show, so we can do it any Tom can't make it.
That's great. Well, I tell you what, Alex, can you do some shout-outs?
I can. I'm in the chat room right now, Marco. Are you there?
I'm right here, and I'm ready to go.
Excellent. So we got Billy Green in the house. Hi, Bill. He already said hi to me in the chat room. Chuck just chimed in. Hi, Chuck. How you doing, Mr. Alabama? Where's Greg? Is Greg around tonight? And we got, of course, Crypto Four Corners. That would be JC and his crew, along with Dave. We got Jan Allen from GBRI. Jan's the founder out there of GBRI, and he'll be one of our guests tonight, too. And of course, we have Lee Joyner, Navajo Bigfoot right here in Arizona. We got Rex chiming in from New England, and Tom's gentle giant, Steve Carthon. You know, everybody's got to check out Steve's website. He's got a great website going, and he has his own radio show now. I listened the other night. He was nice enough to mention my mom, so we have to remember to mention
Bill
Steve.
And Tom had to do a quick turnaround this evening. He couldn't make the show. He's somebody's got your your computer on the telephone here.
That actually
might want to mute out.
Just chimed in.
There's a minute delay.
So, but we're doing great. Steve's show is rocking. He records it, I believe, on Sunday night, but everybody can ask Steve in the chat room when the show is. So, beyond that, kudos and salutations to everybody else out there. Mom, love you. Hope you're feeling well. AK, hope that's getting better. Tricia, take care. Hope you're feeling well. What else do we have going on?
Well, Alex, as you know, Mitch Waite was going to be on tonight, but he's in Utah, and also AK was going to try to be on tonight. Both of those people will be on next week, and they both have some really neat stuff to talk about. But tonight, we've even got something better than anything else. J.C. Johnson is on there on tonight. He'll be our first guest. We also have Jan Allen and also Steve Dismore. Steve hasn't got in there yet. I'm going to have to give him a call here while you're interviewing to make sure that he doesn't have any problems dialing in. But anyway, without any further ado, how's about J.C.? Are you unmuted and are you on the line, my friend?
Check me out. Hello.
Yes, you're there.
Hello. Hey! All right.
We call J.C. the voice. We're ready, Marco. We're ready to go. J.C., okay. Did you hear me? We call you the voice.
Am I loud and clear?
Excellent. Hey, you had a really exciting couple of weeks lately, especially this last outing.
Oh, it's just been phenomenal, unbelievable, wow,
so,
unbelievable. You know, and the thing is, we're getting right out to everybody, documenting, getting these people out into the areas where things happen, and, you know, I'm bringing it right to you. Maybe I learned that from Tom. I don't know. Don't tell Tom that.
You think so? Yeah, we don't want him to get a big head. Got a big head. I don't tell anybody that I learned everything from him either. For you. So what exactly happened? We had a report of a Bigfoot, or was it a greasy bastard, as we like to call him up there in the San Juan area? Or was it a linebacker?
It was not a linebacker.
Okay.
The first part. The video that I put up today is a lady we've known for a couple of years, and she's brought us out on a couple of skinwalker incidents and some different things that were undetermined when we were done. This is something really interesting where she saw a young juvenile in the middle of the road playing with something in the road, and her mind was just telling her, this is not a child, this is not a human, this is something else. And she was just thinking, why is this young person dressed like this, you know, in these reddish-brown sweats or whatever she thought from a distance. And as she got closer, she realized that this was not a human child.
It was a little more hairy than, say, one of my daughters.
I'm sorry. Come again?
I said a little more hairy than, say, one of my children would be.
I would hope so. Yeah, I would know. Yeah, definitely a lot more hairy than one of your kids. But here's the thing. Doing some background on this, we go back to an earlier show I did with you guys talking about the large hairy hominid covered in mud down on the river, and there was a little guy with him. Like 2 weeks ago, the same area I was in, the grandfather of this woman who's in the video saw a large hairy hominid with a small hominid next to him out in the field. So, I mean, there's a lot of activity right down in this area. And this was in broad daylight, about 10 o'clock in the morning. I believe it was Saturday morning that she saw him. We couldn't get out there till Monday. Well, actually, Jonathan Lee and I got out there Sunday. And we put up a game cam. And then we got back out there again Monday. We did the interview with Felicia to talk about what she saw.
And now, I don't want to give away too much. We'll give it out a little at a time because it is really exciting. And so after you spoke with this woman, and you've gone out there a couple of times, what led to the event that we spoke about, or that Marco told me about today, that I spoke with Marco about?
What happened is I got the calls. If I could follow up on everything that happens out in these areas, there would have to be 10 of me, 10 Davos, 10 Jonathan Lees, 10 Darren Weeks. We can't cover everything, but I'll tell you what we do cover is the immediate areas that we've been working in, working with these people. You know, you win their faith and their confidence in your abilities, and they're looking up to you. They're looking forward to you coming out to see what's going on, and that's where I put my priority, is the people that we've been working with, because my trust is there. Their trust is with me, my crew, our crew, our organization, and that's where I'm going to go first.
Well, in some regards, you have to almost, because you've explained this to me before, and of course, I've seen it firsthand, but the people are somewhat traumatized after these incidents, right?
Yeah, and I would say in the case of Felicia, it was a satisfaction thing.
Are you there, JC?
I think he lost his Skype.
Okay. I was worried for the community.
Skype doesn't work too good, Alex. That's why I stopped using it.
I think what JC was going to say, and he'll be trying to get back in.
Yeah, he'll be getting back in.
If you're out there, Dave, if you want to chime in, that's fine, too, because we know you're hot on the story also. But I think what he was trying to say is with this lady, and sorry, her name escapes me. Did he say Felicia? That she was actually not as much traumatized as more satisfied that somebody was going to come out and justify what she saw. And to set it up, Marco, are we allowed to talk about what you posted in the video?
Yeah, I posted a video link on YouTube that JC posted, and it's on the video. It's on www.bigfootlive.com. www.bigfootlive.com. Look at the guests underneath JC, the first guest. You'll see a link, and it goes to the video on YouTube, and it's his interview of this lady, and they go over the tracks and everything, and we go through the whole process of what happened.
Excellent. Basically, what she somehow saw, and she saw a Bigfoot chase a skunk into a cave. She had a cotton in there, ripped out.
JC, are you there now?
It's real rough. I'm going to try to call back in. Hold on.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, Alex, why don't you see if you could redial back in and see if it goes away. And I'll take care of this here for a couple minutes until you get back in.
Okay.
Okay? Ladies and gentlemen, we got a little bit of an interference problem here. JC is trying to dial back in. Alex is going to dial back in. One of the lines had a lot of static on it and was creating a lot of noise. JC has posted a YouTube video conference of the lady that he interviewed for that had the visual sighting of the juvenile Bigfoot. And it's pretty interesting. She was going down a back road, not a well-traveled road, and she seen this creature. It looked like she thought it was a child, as JC said. And she looked at it and thought it was a child. And then she started getting closer, and it, more and more in her mind, she said, "This isn't a child. This is something else." And so what happened was, here we go. Here comes Alex. Is that you, Alex? Are you back on?
I'm back on. How do I sound, Marco?
Yep. Yep. It looks like JC's back on, too. Are you on, JC?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay.
There's no static. Go ahead. I just left off with where the lady had the visual sighting, thought it was a kid, was rehashing that, and then all of a sudden she's... Her mind started telling her, "No, this isn't a kid. This is different. This has got..." And then she got closer and closer, started seeing it wasn't clothes, it was fur, and all these other things. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You know, it's just really cool that it takes years to get ingrained into these areas. And, you know, it's kind of like taking over a foreign country. You've got to win the hearts and the minds of the people. And you're going to win the hearts and the minds of the people by your actions and the way you act and what you do. And they're going to know you by your works. And it's neat after all this time that we're getting the contacts that we have now. It's taken a lot of hard work. Dave O can tell you that. Different members of our crew can tell you that. It's a neat thing after all this time to finally have people communicating with us and sharing things with us and asking us to come out and help. I like it.
Nope, you got to definitely build lines of communications with everybody. You got to network with everybody you meet. You got to be polite. You got to, you know, let them know that you're honest so they can have confidence in you. I think, JC, probably nobody does that better than you and Dave-O and Leonard and Darren and Jonathan. You know, love all you guys, of course.
How about Steve Dismore?
And how about Steve Dismore? He's out there. Finally, Steve, huh? Hey, JC, continue the story. Tell us what happened because we've wasted some of your time. The show's two-thirds over. Get into the good stuff. Tell me what happened.
Oh, go ahead. Steve, are you on?
No.
Yeah, I'm on here.
Yeah, Steve, you're the next guest after this. You're not on until another 15 minutes, another 10, 15 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Good to hear from you, Steve. Love you, man. I want to go into the video speaks for itself. Can you still hear me?
You're on, JC. You're doing good.
Okay, good. I don't trust Skype anymore. I want emails of something better. I hate being dropped.
Yeah, I know. It's happened. That's why I changed.
We get to the situation down there. What we investigated before we went out and did Felicia's interview is something picked up an irrigation pipe, and it didn't roll it. It carried it about 100 yards out into a field. And the object of its affection was a skunk that was inside the irrigation pipe. And there's little vents where you can open up and let water out on the sides of this irrigation pipe. This particular individual, after the skunk, ripped off all these vents. You can see nail marks, claw marks near it where it ripped it off. And we also gathered quite a bit of hair from these areas. Eventually, I think it kind of like zeroed in on where the skunk was, and there's a fist punched through the irrigation pipe on one side and a fist punched through the irrigation pipe on the other side. At one time, it probably had a hold of the skunk in between the two areas where it punched through the pipe. I can also tell that the skunk probably got away from this individual after biting this individual because you see bloody handprints going up inside the pipe, going after the skunk. Eventually it does get the skunk. What's interesting is Brenda, our witness from the area, was out there the first night after this incident happened, and she took pictures before it rained. Before it rained, we had bloody handprints all over this pipe, big bloody handprints over this pipe. So we probably got a mixture of Sasquatch blood and skunk blood from the incident. And the first night, the body probably lay mostly undisturbed. The only thing missing from it, as Brenda would tell me later, were the scent glands. The glands that spray the stinky skunk spray were removed and gone.
Now, Jay,
and I find that interesting.
Me too. What is your theory on that? Because I have a theory, and I think maybe we're probably thinking on the same line.
A hunter buys the no scent so he can sneak up on the elk and the deer. If I didn't want anybody to bother me, if I wanted dogs to leave me alone and cower and go away and everything else to just leave me alone, I would rip the butt out of a skunk and rub it all over myself, and I would smell really bad. Nobody would bother me. I would go into an area, and everybody would think there was a skunk and just leave me alone. And it makes me wonder because we've got the smell factor.
And
the smell factor comes into play.
Thousands of reports of people saying that Bigfoot had a skunk type odor. And I'm just wondering if maybe that's why. You know,
we go back to different instances where we've seen skunks all ripped up, and you know, you just stop and wonder what would mess with a skunk. Everything runs from a skunk. A skunk is a very confident creature that no one's going to bother it. I mean, they're really bold. A skunk will walk right into your camp and not have any fear of anyone because everyone's going to leave. If I smell like a skunk, nobody'd bother me. A skunk can lay on the side of the road and rot, and the buzzards won't munch on it. The ravens, the crows, and everything else that would go after carrion won't touch a skunk. Dogs won't go near a skunk if they know it better. It just makes you wonder. And also, I got a whiff away from the scene, probably about 50 yards away yesterday, that something was still in the area, because it's not just the skunk smell. It's a skunk mixed with something else. So let's suppose something rubbed the skunk scent over its body. I got a whiff of the skunk scent with the body scent and your typical squatch sniff type deal, and there was something
musky,
still in the area.
It's a musky, dirty kind of odor. So,
the musky, dirty kind of odor with the skunk.
And the skunk has that sweet smell. The musky,
yeah.
The skunk isn't really the musky smell. I think the Bigfoot is the you know, musky type, body odor type smell. And, you know, just intense. And the skunk would be the sweet odor. And, of course, it's trying to hide its musky odor as the skunk odor. And what you're saying about skunks, They have this great smell to keep animals away, but they're not unable to protect themselves either. Skunks are
They'll bite you.
Yeah, and they're pretty vicious. You know, I'm not positive, but I believe they're in the same family as the wolverine and you know, the animals such as that. So they're just a smaller, more fragile creature, but they're very vicious.
Oh, they can get pretty good size, too. When I was a little kid, my parents were loggers up in northern Wisconsin, and what they would do is go out after selected hardwoods. They didn't go cut forests down. They would go out and select different types of veneer and the different walnuts in the woods that they, you know, the trees that they could get high money for. And they would go and pay the farmer for these trees, and they would go in and do selective harvesting. Well, a lot of times they would cut deadfall on different things like that to get a tree down properly, to bring in a skidder, to bring out a tree. Even when I was a kid, some of these trees could be worth like $2,000 that they were harvesting. Well, they never left an animal out in the wild, unprotected or anything like that. And one of the deadfalls, when it went down, killed a mother skunk. And my parents, I remember the night they came home, I was probably 7 years old, they brought home 14 baby skunks because the mother got killed by the deadfall. And they took him into the vet, and he descented these skunks and was trying to get homes for them. And my parents brought one of the skunks home for us to raise, and we named it Cuddles. So I grew up with a skunk, and they're very intelligent creatures.
And as Steve's telling us in the chat room, you can make pets out of them, too. So I guess they...
Oh, yeah, she made a great pet. You know, when she get mad, she would run and thump across the floor, and my parents, you know, they had a logging business, and a lot of times they would have clients over to our country home out in Wisconsin, and they would make us take the skunk and put it up in our room, you know, because people would walk through the front door and see a skunk and freak out. So we'd put the skunk up in our room, which was right above the living room where we would typically have dinner, and she would get mad and run across the floor and stomp, and the plaster would fall off the ceiling. And eventually, they would send us upstairs to bring the skunk down and show everybody, you know, and then they would be, like, kind of comfortable with the fact that we had a pet skunk. But, skunks are cool, actually, for the most part.
Yeah, they're very cool. They are in the same family as the wolverine and the badger. They're a very cool little animal. They're a confident little animal. They're just a little slow, and that's what the smell gland is to get let them escape. And this time is very beautiful. You know, up in the hot zone, we got a skunk that Mitch has caught on film a few times coming into our camp, and we know when he's around, he or she will walk right up to us when we're there. Doesn't spray. He's 3/4 white. He's almost completely white, and he's just a beautiful little skunk. You know, and it's funny now that you say that, because in this camp we have skunks, and we also have activity with the Mogollon Monster / Bigfoot. So maybe the Bigfoot was there watching us, because it comes down from the peak. Maybe it's down there to get the skunks to bring the memory glands, the sac glands, the smell glands, back to the monster. Now, a lot of other stuff happened, too. What else did you find? Paint everybody.
Well, let me go back to the findings. Here's the neat thing, because it ripped all these irrigation little things off the pipe. On every place where it ripped something off, there were claw marks or finger, you know, I mean, some kind of clawing going on. And there's some really weird clawing going on all over this pipe. And once we get down to where it punched the holes through the pipe, that's where we get some curly hair that doesn't belong to a skunk. And on the top of the pipe, they might have picked up some blood also. I'm not sure. Definitely inside the pipe, we've probably got a mixture of skunk and hairy hominid blood, no doubt. But on the top of the pipe where it punched through, we picked up a bunch of hair. And I'll be working on this video. I need to get some more pictures from the night before, because the night before, before we got out there, is where we're going to have the bloody handprints, and they're pretty good size handprints on this pipe. And the pictures from the night before are pretty grisly from the scene. It's just high strange weirdness.
Wild. And it would have to be an awful scene, actually, very gory. Imagine, it's amazing.
I can see at one point. Can you hear me?
Yes, you can.
Okay. At one point, it looks like it tore off a front leg. Now, the first night, the skunk looked mostly undisturbed. The pictures that Brenda has, the skunk's just laying flat on its belly. It hasn't been flipped over anything. The scent glands have been removed. By the next day when we get out there, the guts have been ripped open, the rib cage is open, everything's been removed from the inside of the skunk. But it hasn't really dined on any type of flesh.
That's amazing. It seems like somebody was getting it ready to... It sounds like it was almost cleaned, getting ready to be gutted and you know, cooked or eaten.
I don't know. What's really weird is when I'm filming this dead skunk, by the next day that it's been all ripped up, there's almost no odor in the area. Like I said, the scent glands have been removed, and I shouldn't be able to stand near this dead skunk. But at that time, there was no real odor other than the area. I could tell the area had been sprayed probably during the struggle when the skunk was captured, as you will. That's the only odor.
Wow. And your video, by the way, I posted a link in the chat room, so your video on the YouTube page, and Marco has the link on the BigfootLive.com page. That's the page with three columns. You go down to the middle column, and there's DJ
link. Yeah. And that's for the sighting of the juvenile. When I put all this together on what happened to the skunk and the evidence and the physical evidence, we do have flesh from the punch areas and fur, flesh and fur from the punch areas, and curly fur, which does not belong to the skunk, We've got some really cool stuff, you know, some really good physical evidence from this entire incident with the irrigation pipe. And an intriguing video, too, very intriguing. I've got Darren Weeks out there, and, you know, he works with the Sheriff's Department, and great guy, very knowledgeable in forensic things where I'm not as knowledgeable. And Brenda, I mean, she's just a wonderful lady. You'll get to meet her. Next time you're out here, she's looking forward to meeting you. But she, you know, she put everything together before we even got there, and made it make sense. You know, she did. I thought a Bigfoot or something ran amok and started smashing things up and just tore a skunk up for giggles and ha ha's, and turns out to be a lot more than that.
Excellent, excellent. Sounds fascinating. And I would love to get out there and meet Brenda and be with you guys again, because it's always exciting up there. For some reason, it's one of the most awesome areas in the country. It's just so amazing. Everywhere we go, there's, you know, you got the story of this or that. It's just, you can never do it all when you're up there. I have to live up there to experience it all like you guys did. It's just fascinating. What else is going on in your area?
I'm trying to get back up to the canyon up on the Lukachukai, and we've had such rain, my goodness. I mean, we've been really blessed with rain, but unfortunately, the areas I'm going to travel to are probably just complete mud at this
right.
time. And I was even talking to Dave today, and we were looking off toward the Lukachukai. I'm like, Dave, when do you think I can get up there? And he's like, not anytime soon, most likely. I mean, they're socked in with a lot of moisture. It's a blessing, but I can't get back up to this canyon that we've been working, and we've had full-on sightings there. We've had full-on sightings in this canyon with game wardens present. You know, I mean, that's pretty incredible when a game warden sees something of this nature, and it's just really impressive. But to get back up there's going to be a little while, unfortunately.
You know, JC and Alex, last week we got an email from a guy named Waco. He lives right out where you guys are. He's been up in the Lukachukas in that area, and his brother and mother had an encounter with a deer, with a Bigfoot, with a deer, and I guess it killed the deer, and there was a bunch of other things. We weren't able to contact him via email, but they went out on last weekend to get more stuff, and we're trying to make contact with him so we can have him on the show. But he's going up to the Lukachukai.
Yep, that's good advice.
I'll bet the report has something to do with the legs being ripped off, Mitch. Excuse me, Marco, because that's what Mitch reports. And on Mitch's latest video, he actually has a picture. We find a lot of deer with their legs ripped off. The legs are virtually untouched, at least the thin parts. I'm sure the meaty parts are going to take, but they basically will have bare bone on the top and just the skin and a little bit of meat on the lower half of the leg. So they rip the leg bone right out of the socket, leave all that thigh meat up there, and take the rest of the animal away. JC, the Lukachukai, amazing. Probably need at least a couple of weeks of good hot dry weather to give it a good dry base deep down. Otherwise, you know, even though the top looks soft, the minute you stop in a soft area, you're going to be in mud again, right?
Yeah, it's unfortunate, and I've made contact with two of the families that are up there sheep herding, and, you know, go to the Facebook page. I do talk about some of that on the Facebook page, but, you know, I've made contact. We've been accepted into this area. One of the families I contacted, he's actually a school teacher. Uh-oh. Hope you didn't lose me again.
No. That's somebody else dialing in. That's Jan coming in.
Oh, okay. So, you know, I'm really anxious to get back up there, too, because, you know, once again, they know us by our works. So I want to get up there and deliver the fresh water and the Gatorade and everything else. I, I said I would bring when I would come back again. You know, I want to do all that, and I can't do that right now. Last time I tried to get up there, the van I was driving blew a water pump, and thank God my friends came and rescued me with a flatbed trailer. And it turns out Brenda's husband's quite the mechanic and was able to replace the water pump. So I'm gearing up possibly to go up there again next week. And I know everything's going on down here, but I know the height of the activity down here on the flatlands is going to be about 2 weeks from now. This would probably be my last chance to get up there before Mark Curtis and Jerry Bacon come out. And I'm looking forward to their visit out here.
Excellent. You know, Navajo Bigfoot's in the chat room agreeing with you. A lot of rain up there. And he says he'll take a ride up the mountains with you guys. So he's in your area. So he's in the chat room asking about it. So Navajo Bigfoot, just get in touch with JC. Maybe you can hook up with him. We know you guys are nearby. So
yeah, and JC, if you go up there and come on back, you got anything, we'll have you on the show again to go through what happened.
Well, I'm almost going to guarantee you at some point, if I have the right people up there with me again, enough trip cameras, we're going to catch something.
That's good.
I was disappointed today. I went out to the bait station in the area of the baby, and the fruit was gone, the peaches were gone, the apples were gone, and no pictures of the baby, and no pictures of anything having eaten the fruit in the area. And I'm concerned about the trigger speed of this particular camera, so I might just make this a backup camera. It's not that quick.
Well, I'll tell you, JC, I appreciate you coming on the show tonight and sharing. Sharon is very interesting. I sent you an address for the stuff, and I think you got
yes.
For it. So
I've got that. Thank you.
You're very welcome, and we'll keep tabs on you and see what's going on. I appreciate you coming on, and thanks. We're kind of running overtime right now a little bit, but. Thank you for coming on, JC.
Gentlemen, a pleasure as always, and God bless you and each and every one of you out there. Have a great night.
Good night now, and take care, and God bless you too. Well, Alex, Steve Dismore's on here, and we got Steve on, and he's going to fill us in on a little bit of what's going on. Steve, are you there, my friend?
Yes, I'm here.
Is that someone from your group?
I didn't hear the question.
Who's the Kentucky woman in the chat room?
Alex,
I'm
cutting out.
What was his question, Marco?
I couldn't hear it, Steve. I couldn't hear it. It was chopped.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead, Alex. You're cutting out again to where there's this background noise.
Well, go ahead, Steve. Tell us what was in the chat room telling us about, asking about, do they take bone marrow from the deer bone? Marrow taken out. But in these lead bones, mostly they do not. Go ahead. Tell us what's going on in Kentucky.
Alex, why don't you try to dial in again, bud? And then Steve, just go on with what you're doing, my friend, and give us what's going on in your area. First of all, long time no see.
Well, I've got to where I've been out doing my exercise. I go out and I do a lot of Indian artifact hunting up and down the riverbanks now. And I spoke to a friend of mine tonight. Actually, that's what kind of made me run late calling in. He's a taxidermist. And he had told me, we'd got to talking about it, and he didn't realize I was into Bigfoot research, and he was telling me the darndest thing about a guy and told him about, he'd shot a deer down the game reserve last year, and he was blood trailing the deer, and as when he topped over the hill, a very large man covered in hair was packing his deer off. And, of course, that's, we know what that was. That was a Sasquatch.
Yeah.
And
Now that's the same. That's the same part of the area that I've talked about in the past. It's down toward one of our game reserves in Kentucky that I've got an invitation to go on to and do research on. And it's going to be a place that I'm going to be doing a lot of river walking. I'm going to be walking up through there over the next couple of weeks, you know, and I'm going to start looking for signs. But what's bad about here right now is we've had a drought. This spring we had more water than we could deal with, and now we're having a drought that's so bad. I mean, if it rains, it almost evaporates as soon as it hits the ground. And I really don't think there's a lot of activity going on here now, per se, because the rivers are just, they're gone. They're dried up, the big rivers.
Wow.
And when there's no water, there's no creatures. I think they require water. I mean, the big rivers, they can travel their corridors, but I think that they like to live off of their tributaries, the creeks and the sloughs and the bayous that come off of them is where they really do their living, off the beaten path, you know.
Yeah.
And as far as I can tell, you know, all my insiders, all my friends that I talk to that research and do things, they've really had a bad time this year finding anything. Just coming up through the Land Between the Lakes area and all the way up through the Shawnee National Forest where there's been a lot of sightings in the past. Now, something that did occur last week was there was a large cougar killed in southern Illinois. Apparently, the guy had his dogs attacked, and he got tired. He got very tired of it, and he killed this very massive cougar, 150-pound cougar.
Wow.
And that's, you know, it's supposed to be, we're not supposed to have them, but if we do have them, they're not very many. And this was a very large female, and she just dried up her milk, so she just had some kittens somewhere. And according to the vet that looked at the cat after it was killed, said that the kittens were, they was going to make it. Okay. And the reason I brought that up is it's a part of the area where people, you know, they're not supposed to exist, for one. And now they've got proof, dead on, dead to right, here's the cat. And we was talking about it. The taxidermist had brought that up to me that he was wanting to do the cat. And I'd asked him, I said, well, you know, what about the black cats that aren't supposed to exist? He said, here's a funny thing that is in the bylaws of taxidermy, okay, in the state of Kentucky. You're not allowed to mount a wild cat. Because we got wildcats here. Bobcats,
yeah.
Pumas, cougars, anything of that nature, black cats, or any hominid, hairy, bipedal creature. Now, what would that be referring to? He's not allowed to legally mount that without a permit from you gotta get a special roadkill permit to get those creatures mounted. Now, I've never seen them mounted Sasquatch. Apparently they frown on it, but he's actually got that in his contract. He can't mount those. And he told me that he firmly believed, he's been a wildlife guy all his life, and he firmly believed because, you know, finding large footprints where he would go out and do a deer survey for the state and finding massive footprints and like little shelters made of tree branches, and you go inside of them, and they stink of the worst odor that you can think of. And he said, you don't never get to see them full on, but you'll get a glimpse of something big kind of moving behind a tree or something, and you'll get that smell, and you'll get that feeling that something's watching you. And I was thinking to myself, man, you're so dead on. Tell me where you've been seeing this at. And he started describing the area to me that he'd had these experiences. And it's down at Real Foot Lake. Kentucky borders Real Foot Lake. Real Foot Lake is in Tennessee, Kentucky, and parts of Missouri. He said, when you go down there, he said that everyone down there has got a story to tell about the booger or the Bigfoot or the Sasquatch or something. And he said, that'd be a really great place for me to go down and just start doing some door-to-door research with some of the old farm people down there, you know, the people that own farms, because they all talk about them being on their property. Well, that's what I'm going to be setting forth to do here in the next few weeks as the weather starts to cool more and hopefully it starts to rain more.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, Steve, we got two groups there that are ready to go out on expedition here in the near future. And I want to make an announcement on the last couple minutes of the show for one, and Jan Allen is going to announce his. He's the next guest here. I want to thank you for coming on tonight and sharing with us. It's been a while, and it's really nice to see you're back in there. I understand you're suffering a little bit from this, getting this cortisone shot in your nerve.
Oh, man, that was the worst experience, not to anybody out there. When those doctors decide to stick those needles in you, it's all guesswork.
Yeah, I understand.
This guy's been doing this for 30 years, and it's the first time he's ever done it, and it was the most excruciating pain that I've ever felt in my entire life. So I don't recommend it if you can keep from it.
Well, I'm glad that you're back. You're back again, back almost to normal. Not quite, but you're back to normal a little bit, and that you're going to be planning some things in the future here. So I want to thank you for coming on tonight and sharing. And we'll talk to you soon. I'll keep in touch with you to see what's going on.
Yeah, I'll get back on the show here pretty soon. I'm going to get out and do some research, and then I'll have something more to talk about then.
Okay, my friend. Just hit your old star 6 button. That'll mute you out.
I can't mute myself out. If you can mute me out, it'd be good.
Oh, okay. I can try. I don't think it'll work. My control panel is a little bit slow, but we'll see.
My phone doesn't give me the option to get back in once I'm out.
Oh, I see. Well, it's not muting out, so just sit there and hold on. And, that's all. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Alex, you're back on, I can see, I think.
Yep, I'm back. So, Steve-O, okay. When you get a chance, give me a call. Marco, who's next? My best buddy, Jan?
Jan, come on, my friend.
Well, hello there.
How you doing?
I'm hanging in like loose teeth, and you?
The same? I want no teeth.
I hear you. We take them out
for
our trouble.
Alex, when we start this thing out here, I just want to make a couple of announcements. One for Jan and one for Chuck Creel and Greg Worthington. Jan, you've got a radio show coming up here on the 29th of August, the Sunday the 29th. What the time range is on that?
Seven to 9 Central Time.
Okay, 7 to 9 Central Time, Sunday the 29th of August. It's called Night Caller Radio. It's on Blog Talk. I have a link up on www.bigfootlive.com on the left column in the bottom. You take a look, and there's a link to Blog Talk on that show. Everybody just come on and join in the fun on Sunday night. Oh, Jan, go ahead, and Alex, go ahead and see what's going on now.
Excellent, Jan. Thanks, Marco. What's been going on, Jan? What's new? What's going on, my brother?
Well, believe it or not, while we were sitting in the chat room, my lead investigator, he's in there, Craig Jackson, me and him went into our little side talk deal, you know, that me and you normally do, and he was telling me that we have Bigfoot activity in North Georgia. And him and one of the gentlemen that's in the big tracking team that he's with are going up Saturday to check it out. So it might be something that we might be setting up another expedition on here pretty soon.
Excellent. Keep busy. Keep busy. That's the only way to do it is to keep active. Boots on the ground, right?
That's it.
Now, what's going on with the local stuff that you have going on in your location?
Well, right now I'm relatively slow. I'm thinking what it's doing is repeating what it did last year. Was this time of the year, they're getting down on the DNR land. We think that's where they're staying at because it's a gated area, and hunters are not getting in there. The only way in is to walk in, and that's just too big of a place to do a lot of walking in. But we think they're down in there. That's their safe haven. And about sometime in September, I think I'll start getting the activity back here again. If they follow suit like they did last year, is when the hunters start going in and, you know, setting up their hunts and finding areas, baiting their areas, and they're going to run them again. Last night, Brenda said that she heard knocking back off in the woods, like tree knocks. And I know my German Shepherd and my other dog keyed up on it. I mean, they alerted to it. They wasn't barking, but they was definitely at the back of the yard doing a lot of running around and staring. So, you know, it could be a sign that they're moving back this way. It's just something I'm going to have to watch.
It's been a funny year. It's an El Nino year in the Pacific, which is coming out of it. And it's got, you know, we've had a mild spring, a lengthy winter, with lots of snowfall, lots of rain all over the country in these areas, and they seem to have just made the creatures able to be active and in areas that they aren't all normally in early or late in the year, depending on how you're looking at it.
Yeah, well, you know, we were the same way. We had a real cold winter. We had snow this year. You know, normally don't get a lot of it, especially down here below Atlanta. But we got a snow this year. This summer's it's been a scorcher. Until like day before yesterday, it was like in the mid to high 90s. And now we're getting back down toward the, you know, into the high 80s. So we might start getting some movement, but I think it's just been too hot for them to move around.
Right. They're going to stay in one area where they have cover, maybe some water and some food.
That's it. That's it. And, you know, I'm about, I don't know, I would say not even a half a mile from, you know, from the Chattahoochee River, and just about 4 miles upstream from West Point Lake. So, you know, there's all kind of water source here. There's game here. There's enough food for them to supply them. So, you know, they can stay cool, and they, you know, they got their food source, and they can roam this area. I mean, there's a lot of wooded area here. So, you know, like I said, we're just in that time of the year that's just, you know, wait for them to make, you know, to make their return back to us.
Well, this is a good time of the year for people to get together and kind of make their plans for the fall. We're just about there. You know, this is a good time of the year maybe to get in the chat room or on the AZCRO forum. AZCRO, did I say it right? I'm mispronouncing my own forum. But people don't realize is you're in there, your crew's in there, Mitch is in there. They can get in there and talk to you and ask you all about what you've been doing. And we usually post pictures from your reports too, right?
Right, yeah. Yeah, we do. Actually, I send them out to you, and you do the posting for me. And hopefully we're going to have a bunch for you coming up around the 1st of October because, you know, we got our regular North Georgia expedition that's going up the first weekend in October. We'll be doing a weekend again up in there. You know, we already did one up there in April, and we're going back. We had sightings up there then. We got photographs of what, you know, we believe to be one that was up there. So we're going back and try that again. But like I said, that's 1st of October, and now with, you know, this new information on the other part of North Georgia, hopefully we'll be mounting a team up and heading up that way.
Now, Jan, if somebody would like to join you, are you taking people to join to go with?
Well, yeah, anybody can get in touch with me. I can set it up. They can go. Actually, we're setting it up now. I'm still waiting to hear from the people, but it's already in the works that we're carrying a TV crew with us on the October expedition.
Uh-huh.
That's wanting to film it from start to finish. So that's still in the works. So, yeah, people can get in touch with me.
I'll post a link with your email address on it on both web pages, as well. Chuck Creel also has one, and we'll post them up there. And that way people, if they want to join or find out about it, they can contact you that way, and then you can contact them by phone once they get a hold of you.
Right, yeah. Yeah, and me and Chuck's going to get hooked up eventually. I tell you, we just keep hitting and messing, and Yeah, well, I talked to him earlier right before the show, and he was telling me when his was going down in September, and it's a week before we do ours, and we're right. just jumbled up, and, you know, money-wise, it's hard to jump both ways, and, you know, he's got that same problem, too. But we're going to get hooked up.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I got 2 minutes left, enough time to close the show. I appreciate you coming on here, Jan, and sharing with us, and we'll keep in touch with you. Alex, I got one little announcement before you say adieu to everybody, and that's Chuck Creel has Chuck Creel and Greg Worthington have a hunt planned, and you can get more details on it. I have it on the webpage on www.bigfootlive.com, but it's the 25th, 26th, and 27th of September. And contact Chuck Creel. His email address is on the webpage. Get a hold of him if you're interested in joining or want more details on it. Alex, why don't you close the show, my friend?
Excellent, excellent. And everybody, you need anybody's email. You can email me too because I got everybody's email, and I know people want
it. It's on the webpage. It's on the webpage. It's right there. All you got to do is copy it off the webpage and email them.
Excellent. Marco, real quick, Mitch and I are setting up a trip for early September. We're going to be interviewed on the first trip by the reporter for the Paranormal Matrix, and then he's going to come out with us on the next trip with the film crew. So if you want to take part in that with us,
email me all the details, and I'll put it on the website. You got to say goodbye. We only got 1 minute left, and it's less than a minute now.
Excellent. Good night, everybody. Closing salutations.
Good night, everybody, and we'll see everybody next week. Tom will be back next week.
1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries to find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
There were these prints up in Boswell.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, break in day. We'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is sure like
and everything else. They just were too realistic
and
to be
frozen like a tree.
Somebody manufactured
this. The hand was freaking
into the woods.
Female.
Big foot creature lives. Bigfoot lives. A movie.
Yes, right now.
At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests, Java Bob and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pact that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. What brought them together? Reason for